Good morning. You're listening to WMUK 102.1 FM, Music, NPR, Local Arts and News from Western Michigan University. And I'm very pleased to be sitting across from Greg Jaspers, the new director of vocal jazz at Western Michigan University. And Greg, you're going to be debuting with the Gold Company on Thursday night in the annual sneak preview concert starting at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall. Greg, so nice to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here, Kara.
Greg, you're not a stranger to Western Michigan University. Folks have seen in the Kalamazoo Gazette, for example, that you're a returning alum, and it's really so nice to see this circle come full. Why don't you take us on a little time journey, though, and tell us a little about your time here and what happened afterward?
Well, yeah, I was here. My degree is a bachelor's in music, piano performance, and jazz studies. I think I was the second jazz studies major. Kate Prather, now Kate Reed, was the first one. And Kate and I left here together and went to University of Miami and got our master's in studio music and jazz performance there. And then I was in Chicago for 9 years. And while I was at Miami, Kate and I and Christine Halfrich, now Guder, and several other Gold Company folks, we were at Disney in Ellington Under the Stars, a big band show with all these amazing guest artists like Joe Williams and Diane Reeves and Rosemary Clooney. We just had guests every night and got to sing with some of the greats. And so from there, I went to Chicago for 9 years, and I've been teaching adjunct, but mostly freelance work. And I thought I would do that for about 5 years and figure out what it took for a young professional musician to you know, work, be employed in a major music market. And 5 years became 18 years, and it just was a lot of fun, you know. So 9 years in Chicago, lots of studio work there and down in Indianapolis, and then I moved out to Los Angeles, and that was really just to answer the question, you know, what would happen if I lived in LA? You know, I want to know what that's like and see what happens. And I got to join a group there called Sixth Wave, and that allowed me to meet a lot of people who were able to, you know, kind of connect me with work in the studios there. So I ended up singing on movie soundtracks and working on television shows and things of that nature. And I was there for 8 years, working for Disney and then continuing all the freelance stuff and working with publishers and writing music, a whole variety of things. But finally, when David Colson, the director of the School of Music here, when he finally called and said, are you interested in this job? And I think people here thought, you know, I was having a great time in Los Angeles, and I really was, but I think my professional nesting instincts had kicked in, you know, and I was ready for something, you know, just one job, one thing to do that I was really passionate about. And the more he and I talked, the more I thought, this is really sounding and feeling good. And there have been a couple of vocal jazz positions that have come up in our tiny little field, you know, throughout the years. And Steve Zagree, of course, my predecessor here, would always call and say, Greg, are you interested? And it just never felt like the right time. And that's a hard thing to think about and kind of just listen to, you know. And so when Colson and I started talking, I was really aware of, this feels like it might be the right time, you know, and finally having to make the decision to come here. So that's a quick trip through those 18 years, but yeah.
So you did keep in touch with Steve Zagree through the years, and you are now filling some pretty big shoes. I know that his position was actually now filled by two or three people, yeah. But I think his greatest love might have been Gold Company here at Western. And, well, you might be just ideally suited to know where to take it and how to honor the legacy as well.
Yeah, it's, those are huge shoes and wonderful shoes. And And Steve and I are good friends now. We always intersect in the summers at a few different music camps that we both teach at. And so it's nice to see him, and he's really supportive. You know, he of course has his hands full down at IU now, and is doing some wonderful work down there. And he said to me this summer, if you need anything, you just call. Otherwise, I'm going to stay out of your way. And he's really been great. And just, you know, to have intersected with him throughout the years since I left here, I know that the work he's done here, and especially the students, the graduates of Western and the Gold Company program, are some of the things that he's most proud of. And it's just really neat to see him be so proud of so many people, you know, that came through his studio and through his program. There are a few things that are different, I think, this year with Gold Company, and then a lot of the things that are the same, and in terms of, and maybe the things that are the same are a little bit more intangible, like the standard of excellence that Steve always had for us, and having worked for 18 years in Chicago and Los Angeles, I was really aware of the skill set that we all got when we were singing in Gold Company, and what of those skills allowed me to, you know, to work in the real world. And when Colson first called, we were talking, and he asked me, what would you do? And I said, well, one thing I know I wouldn't do is change the standard of excellence and the musicianship that these students all have and need. Some of the most recent movie soundtracks I sang on in Los Angeles were Epic, that animated feature, and then Oz, the Great and Powerful. Both of them were Danny Elfman scores, and Oz in particular was a difficult score. Which makes it really interesting, of course, but it was difficult. And sometimes, you know, on those crazy scores, you've got the folks around you with their pitch pipes and tuning forks, and they're trying to, you know, grab their note right before the red light comes on. But as I looked down the row, there were at least three, if not more, Gold Company alums who were standing there singing. And we weren't even singing jazz, you know, on the score, but we were singing, but we were all musicians, and the ability to read music, to understand where you are in relationship to other people, to blend with the people around you, if that's what's needed. It's just a giant skill set that we got here. And I'm also trying to be realistic with myself and with my students about, you know, what happens when a jazz vocal major graduates from a program like this. You know, there are really a handful of professional vocal jazz groups that are working a lot, and probably only two that are working full time. You know, even the New York Voices and Manhattan Transfer, they all have their solo pursuits and other projects that they're working on. And so I don't want the students here to think that I want them to have the skills to just go out and create the kind of music they want to create. And hopefully some of that is jazz, you know, but for my money, there is no other musical medium where you get the skill set that allows you to just reach out and do any number of other styles as well. I think jazz instrumentally and vocally creates the best musicians and the best creators of music. You know, I mean, of course, my degree from here is also classical piano, and I studied with Steve for one semester, I think, and then he went on sabbatical, and then I had moved over to Sylvia Roederer's studio, and while everything I learned in her studio was classical in nature, Sylvia had the amazing gift of just, I feel like she just unlocked music, actually, for me. She would run around behind me. I would be playing the piano, and she would run around behind me and be, you know, almost like a coach does, you know, faster, now lighter, now fun, now serious, you know. And she would just be so engaging, and of course I'd be making mistakes left and right. And after we'd finish with a performance, I'd say, Sylvia, what about all those mistakes? And she said, oh, I don't care about those. You're going to figure that out. And So certainly, you know, especially with her and in her studio, the classical music I got to play, I just became so much more connected with. And in that way, there's still, you're still interpreting on the spot. But as far as writing and arranging, improvising a harmonic part, any of the things that you know, you're kind of expected to do or in the real world, that's a lot of that just comes from having a great jazz vocabulary and the skills that come along with that. So
you are actually starting to compose and arrange as an undergrad student at Western, and you've continued that.
Yeah. You know, when you're a student and you're exposed to such great music, you're composing and arranging, at least for me, really was, you know, imitative. You know, I was trying to copy the sounds of Take Six or the sounds of the Singers Unlimited or the sounds of the New York Voices. And even, you know, even my solo jazz students this year here at Western, you know, there's a lot of imitation. We're trying to get, you know, take in jazz vocabulary. So listening to an instrumental solo and then trying to sing along with that and imitate all of that. And then I think my first piece that I really felt like my arranging and composing voice came out was a piece called Dandaya, which Gold Company performed actually on their CD called 25. And that was right after grad school at Miami. And I sort of felt like all of the information that had sort of come in. I mean, you and I talked before the show started today about students and all the information that comes in and how much we don't appreciate it in the moment, right. But then after. So finally, sort of decompressing after I'd moved to Chicago and all this information sort of started to take shape with my own voice, I think. And so Dandaya was the first composition that I felt really reflected me. And then I started working in Indianapolis, where they record a lot of the choral demos, all of the publishers. So Shawnee Press, Hal Leonard, Alfred, Carl Fisher. A lot of them go to Indianapolis to record the demos that choir directors or church choir directors will get. And I got to meet the editors for the different publishers. And we just became friends and started talking. And that just sort of led to, well, why don't you send me a piece of music? And so things unfolded in that way, and I got to start, you know, publishing music as well. Well, I didn't publish it myself, but yeah.
Well, it's nothing like a commission and a deadline.
That's true.
To get
very
those creative
true.
Juices flowing.
Yep.
I was wondering if you would tell me about a piece called Voice Dance, so we can maybe have a listen to that.
Oh,
this is
sure.
Something you came up with as an undergrad, or
it's not actually I did come up with it in conjunction with Gold Company. One of my dearest friends, her name is Jennifer Barnes. She was Jennifer Shelton, as most people from here will remember her. She was getting married. We were both living in Chicago at the time, and she said, "Could you write some music for my wedding?" You know, we looked at her guest list, and we've got, you know, half the Singers Unlimited there, New York Voices, Dwayne Davis. I mean, April Tini, who's a, you know, another graduate of here. Just, it was a guest list that was rife with vocal jazz. And so I decided to write some music. And so her processional and recessional to the wedding were all a cappella. And so this is the piece that I wrote for her to walk into the church for. And at the end, it just repeats and repeats and repeats. And people wonder, well, why is this repeat here? And I said, well, because we didn't know how long the flower girl would take to get down the aisle. You never know if those kids are going to get caught somewhere. And so, but she and I took a walk. I remember distinctly on the beach. And I said, Jennifer, I need to see how you're going to walk as a bride, you know? And so she goes, okay, let me think about this. And she started walking and taking steps, and she figured it out. And so I said, great. I went home and I imitated her. I had this long hallway in my apartment in Chicago, and I just walked up and down the hallway the way she had walked so I could get the feel for the music. And I just started singing this melody. And once I had that, then it was time to start writing and turning it into a composition. So it's originally on the CD that Steve recorded. It's called Processional, and in the world of publishing now, it's become Voice Dance.
Well, I'm talking to Greg Jaspers, director of vocal jazz at Western Michigan University. He'll be leading the Gold Company and GC2 as well.
I'm actually co-directing GC2 with Nick Mueller, who's a graduate, a recent graduate.
The concert on Thursday night features one or both ensembles.
Both ensembles,
yeah. Awesome. Yep. All right. That's Thursday night at 7:30. More information at milleraudatorium.com/SOM for School of Music, or the box office number 269-387-2300. Let's listen to Processional, or Voice Dance, by Greg Jaspers, as recorded by Gold Company with Steve Zagree conducting. Quite joyful music for a wedding that you wrote, Greg, called Voice Dance, and performed there by Gold Company. Gold Company is in concert on Thursday night at 7:30, along with GC2, and it's the sneak preview, the annual sneak preview. It's a big deal, Greg, and it must seem like the semester only started yesterday, and here you are 2 months in, and time for a concert.
Right. It does seem very surreal. When the year started and you're thinking about sneak preview, and it's really, you look at your calendar and go, oh, that's 2 months away, and then suddenly it's upon you. But we're really excited about it. I inherited this date, you know, the Halloween date for sneak preview. I'm not sure it's ever been on Halloween before. So we're embracing that theme in order to, you know, build up the audience and interest people. So my students have decided to name it Sneak Pre-Boo. I believe there will be a costume contest and prizes and all that kind of stuff, just to make it fun. And GC2 and Gold Company may even be in costume themselves. They probably will be. In fact, I'm pretty sure they will be. Yeah. And then, of course, the other person we were talking about, Steve Zagree, and the many people, the army of people who were summoned to fill his shoes, my colleague Jeremy Siskind, who's really an amazing, amazing pianist, both classical and jazz, and he will be playing the role of Professor Scaramy Siskind downtown at the Union after that. So we're having the sneak preview here at Dalton, and then we're all going downtown to the Union to hear Jeremy play, and that's going to be a lot of fun too. But the sneak preview has normally been a foreshadowing of what's to come with Miller Show, which is a huge tradition here in Kalamazoo for Gold Company. And as some listeners may know, we've just put Miller Show on a hiatus for this year, and folks have been worried a little bit about that, I think, and the students too. It's a lot of fun for them, and I just decided that with Miller Show being student produced and run, it's a huge job. I was one of those producers and directors for that show, and it's an enormous task. And I thought, you know, let's take 1 year and just get to know each other for the year and figure out, you know, what kind of new things are happening in the program. And the next year we've got the date already, and we'll be putting another Miller Show that is reflective of the program. So it sounds like
the ensemble isn't completely just top down. There's so much true cooperation that needs to be fostered, that it can't be done without these bonds between you all?
Oh, certainly. Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't think I understood that when I was in the group. I mean, I just did what Steve told us to do, as we all did, but not having yet been a leader of a group myself and seeing just how much it takes to make it work and make it happen. And especially now, being in this position here at Western, seeing all of the other things that Steve had to do administratively. I found myself this morning when I was getting ready to come over, I just wanted to call Steve and say, how did you even have time for a family? How did you do any of those things? I can barely get to the grocery store, you know. but the students really are amazing people. You know, every fall we take Gold Company and GC2 on a retreat, and it's part of it's for them to get to know each other, to start forming relationships with each other. You can't make music in such a small ensemble. I mean, you can make music in a small ensemble, but it just is so much better if you like each other, you know, and you have a sense of community. So that's one reason to take them on retreat. Another reason is to just, you know, learn a bunch of music, since mm-hmm. sneak preview is here before you know it.
Just woodshed that stuff.
Yeah. But the other reason for me, I realized, was just to see them outside of the School of Music context and get a sense of what kind of people they are. And it was wonderful to see, you know, to see my students just as people, people who are willing to, they look for things that need to be done. They're motivated, they have initiative, and they stop by my office and say, what else can I do? What can we do? You know, how can I help? So it is, they kind of have a sense of understanding about all the other things that we need to do to pull off a program and a concert and it's great. It's great to have that many hands on deck. You know, they learn to schlep. They learn to, you know, move the sound system and help our audio engineers set it up and load the truck and then follow the truck back here when a gig is done and unload the truck.
There's movement and choreography too. You got to trust everybody to hit their mark.
Yeah, yeah. There's less choreography this year than there has been in the past. We're focusing on the music side of things and the singing. And we also are standing in a little bit of a different formation because we are a smaller group this year. We are only 14 singers. And I wanted them to be able to see each other when they sing and be able to communicate visually and so we're standing in kind of a semicircle, and people will notice that on Thursday if they come to the concert. And also, you know, when I was in the group, the guys stood behind the girls, and we never got to, like, see, you know, smile at them and all those kinds of things. So it's really nice to stand sort of next to people and be able to look across the stage at someone. And I'm also... And because they can do that, I stand off to the side a little bit more. One of my goals, especially in jazz, is for the students to really feel that they own the music themselves, you know. And last night we had a concert in Grand Rapids, and it didn't go perfect by any stretch of the imagination. And there were a few false entrances and whatever, you know, and I think the students are like, oh no, we're in trouble. You know, what do we do? And so they said, how do you think it went? And I just thought it went wonderfully because I heard them shaping phrases and crescendoing and decrescendoing and moving through a piece without me having to wave my arms, you know, and that's something that just takes time. And so I thought, listen to this group that's already become an ensemble, and they're listening to each other. And for me, that's so much more important, you know.
Takes me back to your story about Sylvia Roederer in the back of
Yeah.
You're saying it's not the notes, it's the joy and the feeling.
Yeah. You know, everybody knows you have to get the notes right. You know, that's just a given. But it's what you do with them. And I was presenting at ACDA, the American Choral Directors Association, Michigan conference this past weekend, and as a Michigan composer. And I just was trying to communicate with them about, you know, it's these pieces of paper, you know, the notes, the ink, it's, that's just the portal through which all of this music has to go if it's going to get from me to you or from another arranger to Gold Company. And it's what we do. It's what we do with that and with each other. And I talked about it being collaborative from the minute an idea, the inception of a piece to the performance of a piece. There is collaboration all along the way by any musician who decides to participate in that, you know. And so to sing this music we're going to be singing on Thursday night, of, you know, we're really trying to discover and bring to life what the composers and arrangers had in mind, and also, you know, lend our own voice to that, which makes it a lot more jazz, you know. And that's one thing I said to the group, of to anybody who even auditioned for Gold Company and GC2 this year, I said, I want to hear your voice. I want to hear, this is what jazz is. This is, you know, it's bringing our own creativity and imagination to this art form. And even in a group, that we should do that. And I said, Gold Company will not sound this year like it's ever sounded before. And if one of you leaves or somebody new comes in, it will again be a brand new group. And because I want your voice and anybody's voice to be a part of the sound. And so it's been a fun discovery that way too. And I think for them to really have a sense of owning, of putting their own voice, and for our instrumentalists, you know, their instrument into the mix and working on this music and then seeing what happens when we all work together.
Well, tell me, what are some of the musical highlights that listeners might know or look forward to hearing on Thursday night?
Well, you know, Gold Company has never shied away from many twists on popular music. So we do have we've got some Beatles and some Stevie Wonder and we're singing, Jennifer Barnes, we're singing her arrangement of As, the Stevie Wonder tune. Kurt Elling, who's an amazing jazz vocalist, he did a take on the Beatles tune Norwegian Wood, and then a dear friend of mine, I'm also in a group with him, his name is Kerry Marsh, he did a great arrangement of Kurt's performance for an ensemble. So we're singing that's going to feature Elliot Weeks, who's sadly one of my graduating seniors, this is something I'm going to have to face about my job. You know, wonderful students who are going to eventually leave us, and we're doing. Carrie did another really interesting arrangement of the Jackson Five's "I Want You Back." So, but it's he tends to take, you know, songs like that and you just think, where did that idea come from? And it's a lot of fun to sing. My friend Rosanna, who is Jennifer's colleague, Jennifer Barnes from my Gold Company days, she has my job essentially at the University of North Texas, and her colleague there, Rosanna Eckert, is a wonderful vocalist and voice teacher, but also arranger. And she wrote this stunning arrangement of A Time for Love, and it's a cappella, and that's another one of those pieces that I just stand back and let the group sing. And we did it last night, and I just was amazed at how beautifully they phrased it and sang together. Let's see what else. Oh, you know, we'll probably do Sweet Georgia Brown, which, if any of our listeners were at the WMU Showcase Spectacular at Miller at the end of September, that was the one piece we sang there. But that's a piece that I arranged based on Sarah Vaughan's scat solo on her performance of Sweet Georgia Brown. So I transcribed Sarah's solo, and then I voiced it out. So we're sort of like a big band, and we're using all of Sarah's all of her syllables. So if anybody works on this chart, they've got to learn Sarah's solo, you know, and learn her syllables. And so in that way, again, we're imitating and trying to incorporate the style and flavor of that amazing jazz artist in our performance.
Oh, I love that! It's like a variation that we all know the theme to. But you don't need to state the theme quite so straightforwardly.
Exactly.
It's coming out of a solo.
Mm-hmm.
That's
yeah.
really cool.
Yeah.
Well, I'd like to take a listen to one more piece here, or maybe two, but let's take a short break again and come back with final thoughts on the concert on Thursday. You have picked out Sodanço Samba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Sodanço Samba is a Brazilian, it's a Jobim standard, and Michelle Weir, who's a dear friend of mine, she's actually coming to Kalamazoo for Thanksgiving of all things from Los Angeles, and she did this arrangement of Sodanço Samba, and she's written a lot. That's how I first met her, was when I was in Gold Company, and we were singing Michelle Weir arrangements, and so she's one of those vocal jazz, you know, to me, celebrities that then became a dear friend.
Sodanço samba, bye 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 bye. Sodanço samba, sodanço samba, bye. Sodanço samba, sodanço samba, bye 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 bye. Sodanço samba, sodanço samba, bye. Sodanço samba, bye 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 bye. Sodanço samba, sodanço samba, bye.
Wow, we were having a lot of fun during that lively music, Sodanço Samba. I'm talking to Greg Jaspers, if you've just tuned into WMUK. He is the new director of vocal jazz at Western Michigan University and has been talking about behind the scenes with Gold Company and GC2. The sneak pre-boo is Thursday night on Halloween. This concert is at 7:30 in the Dalton Center Recital Hall, and you can find out more on tickets through the Miller Auditorium box office. That's millerauditorium.com, or by calling 387-2300. Well, I have to let you go here pretty soon, Greg, because I know you've got a million duties at the School of Music over there. So just final thoughts on the concert, anything we missed talking about?
Oh, I don't know if we missed anything, but we're very excited about the concert and certainly hoping that, and I'm certainly looking forward to meeting folks from the community who've been supporters of Gold Company in the past, and encourage all of those folks to come on down and see what's happening this year, and please introduce themselves. And I would love to meet as many people as possible.
Now you mentioned there may be a very special guest in the
indeed.
Audience.
I got home last night from our Gold Company gig in Grand Rapids to an email from the dean's office, and just letting me know that Doc Carter, who started Gold Company, it was a group called the Varsity Vagabonds, and when Steve came to Western, that's when it moved from Varsity Vagabonds to Gold Company. But Doc Carter's wife, Sarah, is going to be in attendance at the sneak preview on a Thursday night, and I believe she's bringing 9 family members. And for some reason, well, perhaps not, it's obvious why that would hit me so strongly. But I just thought, you know, it's not even Steve's shoes that I'm filling. It's Doc Carter's shoes, and it's just wonderful that there's that much interest and support for this program, and that people see it as you know, it's fun and it's entertaining and it's also incredibly valuable, and there's a lot of substance to it. And I think that's what people, even if they don't know a lot about music, they can detect that. I mean, and and the fact that she wants to bring, you know, 9 family members, and she's in a wheelchair now, and she would want to come out on a, you know, cold fall night and see what this new guy from LA is doing. it just really means a lot to me. And I haven't even had a chance to tell Gold Company or GC2 that she's coming, because I haven't seen them yet. But I think we're going to all try to, you know, meet her and perhaps sing something special for her. But yeah, so come on down. We're going to have a good time. I think audience members too will be participating in the costume extravaganza. So we might even give some Gold Company prizes away and have a great time. But that's at 7:30, and we hope to see all of you there. And stay tuned for what's happening in the land of Gold Company.
Well, Greg, I feel like I've made a new friend here on the air this morning, and I'm sure a lot of listeners feel that way too. You've been such a generous guest, talking about music and much more. I hope we'll see you again soon, and all the best for Thursday night.
Thank you, Kara. It's great to be here.
Let's go with a little more Gold Company, and this Can't Be Love from the newest recording, Who Could Ask for Anything More?